It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, but you have to start because I got food in my mouth.
I have to start.
Because I got food in my mouth.
Oh. Did you press the button?
Yeah, I pressed the button.
To start what? What do I start? Oh, should I have closed this?
Oh yeah, do that, would you?
Window? Sorry, everybody, we gotta close the window.
And eat.
We really didn't have to start right this second.
Do you want a bite of my burger?
No, thank you.
It's got real meat.
That's part of the reason I'm saying no thank you.
And bacteria.
Well, boy, since you mentioned the bacteria.
Bacteria.
No, I really shouldn't.
Look, it's bacteria. You might not see them.
But they're there.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
All over your fresh chicken. You all right?
Strap in, people.
Strap in.
Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world fortified with beta carotene.
Which is not vitamin A.
No.
It just helps your body make vitamin A.
Mm. Ready?
Hop. Thank you.
Paul's.
I gotta finish the burger first, though. Because you know what's grosser than eating meat and bacteria? Meat and bacteria and honey lemon menthol cough drops.
That's pretty gross.
I know, right?
Yep.
Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 213. I can't believe I remembered that.
Okay, vamp for a minute while I finish this.
Vamp for a minute.
Do a little soft shoe or anything.
Soft shoe? Well, they're not going to see it. And if it's a soft shoe, technically, they shouldn't hear it.
All right, then.
Seriously.
Good work.
We could have waited the minute or two it would have taken you to finish eating. I mean, do we really need to... You seem pretty miserable, actually. If I can be honest.
The thing that happened... I've coughed so much that there's a spot in my throat now that just constantly wants to cough. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly over things. I went back to the gym and everything. But... I was very, very sick this weekend. In fact, I missed all the fun things this weekend.
All the fun things?
I missed the 5-year-old's birthday party. I missed roller derby. That's it. Those were the only fun things. But I missed all of them, all two of them. For those of you just joining us, welcome to episode 213. For those of you who have been here before, also welcome. But you know. Here's how it works. We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And people who are worth it write into that email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com with little notes, little questions, comments, topics.
Brief, very brief.
Yes. And the hat, all on its own, magically... transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, it's eucalyptus servants.
Good one.
draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show.
Well, we can talk sometimes about lots of other things. That we've even had one show where we did not draw anything out of the hat.
Yep.
That did
happen.
And a lot
of ones where we just barely drew something out of the hat. But, despite that fact, The hat's running low, people. So you need to write in with something. TheMagicalDoggingHat@gmail.com. Do it.
You could do it right now while you're listening.
Yeah. Or we can wait.
We don't have to wait.
No, but we could. But, that nice.
Okay, well, we didn't wait before starting the show, so why should we wait now?
Because we saved it. The waiting is for now. William, here's the thing. I've been sick, and as you know, because I know how good friends you are with Tom Petty, the waiting is the hardest part.
The waiting is the hardest part.
So I just didn't have it in me.
But you take it on faith.
Classic song about a child on Christmas Eve. Wait, no, that's not right. I'm guessing it's about weed. Most Tom Petty songs are about weed.
Is that right?
I don't know. Most Tom Petty songs sound like they're about weed.
Oh, okay. All right, then. I don't know anything about that, but I'll take your word for it.
So how is your week? Has it been a week or 2 weeks? What? I don't know. What's happening?
Well, no. We had a mystery episode last week.
So it's been 2 weeks.
So it has been 2 weeks. Went down to the farm last weekend, and that was good. Went to Clear Lake, which is the other adult in the house has family up there.
How clear is Clear Lake?
It used to be really clear. I mean,
how clear is Clear Lake?
I don't know. My understanding is...
How do you not know?
Well, because I don't... I mean, whenever I've gone up there, the relative that we're visiting does live on the lake, and I could technically go look. I mean, it's just like 30 feet away from the back door, but I just don't do that.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not there to see the lake. I'm there to see this person. But...
You can see two things.
The other adult in the house has said within her lifetime... There was a time where, you know, yeah, clear, like clear, it's Glacial Lake, you know, the natural lake. There are a lot of reservoirs in Iowa, which man-made lakes, lots of them, where, you know, a dam's been put into a river, like there's Red Rock Reservoir is in Marion County, and it's the Des Moines River's dammed there. We've got a reservoir near us. Corville, well, is it called Corville Reservoir or is it McBride Lake? I don't know. But it's all because of a dam that's on the Iowa River. And there are several others, but there are some natural lakes in Iowa, a few. And Clear Lake is one of them. And it used to be, yes, indeed, quite clear. But I don't think it is so much anymore.
Because of fish poop.
Oh, because of, mostly, I'm sure, because of every other, the reason every other river, stream, pond, lake, whatever is
fish poop.
Polluted in Iowa is because of agricultural runoff,
fish poop.
Silt, and chemicals, and nitrates.
Fish poop is my euphemistic name for the real issue, which is pig poop.
So yeah, so we visited up there, and
so
that
you
was
went
nice.
To Clear Lake, didn't look at the lake. Sounds exciting.
Didn't even go to the lake this time.
Didn't even go to the lake.
No, the person we were visiting didn't happen to be at her
home. Hey, lake. So you went up there, knocked on the door, and left again.
No. she's ill, so she's elsewhere.
But still at Clear Lake.
Yeah, in the town, yeah.
I see.
And what else happened? You know, just the usual stuff. You've probably got a lot to talk about. I mean, I know you missed all the weekend stuff, but there's 2 weeks here, so you probably have a lot to talk about.
I don't know. movies. I saw at least one movie. Maybe just one movie. But in TV news, we have officially given up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
Yep, because we didn't watch it. And it's been sitting there building up like 5 episodes. And we saw it and we were just like dreading it. And we're like, well, that means we shouldn't
That's
do it.
That's probably a good sign, yeah.
Elementary is still my favorite show on TV. And in fact, the most recent one I saw still had the same thing. Every once in a while, I doubt them. Every once in a while, I'm like, this is dumb. Why are you doing this storyline? No, this is going to be stupid. And they always They know what they're doing.
Always pull it off, huh?
They always have a reason for it. And it, yeah.
Sounds painful.
It is painful.
Yeah.
I was really good for most of the day. Mostly I shouldn't laugh, so you should do most of the talking. It only hurts when William's quiet. I saw Harmontown.
Oh, yeah?
Did I talk about this before?
Well, I think I saw it was streaming on Netflix, so yes. I wondered if you were going to watch it.
Yes. And we did, because, of course, I was listening to Harmontown, the podcast, during the time when they were filming. Because it's mostly filming about a tour they went on.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. For those of you unfamiliar, there's a guy named Dan Harmon. He's a writer. He's famous for a few things. He's most famous for the TV show Community. He's also famous for being fired from the TV show Community that he created. Somewhere along the line, he started doing a live weekly show at Meltdown Comics in L.A. called Harmontown. And I don't even know how to explain it. He and Jeff Davis, who is a guy some of you may know as a frequent guest on Whose Line Is It Anyway, who are friends, they would get up on stage and drink and talk. And talk to the audience. And the thinly veiled premise was they were attempting to form a new kind of community called Harmontown, of which Dan Harmon would be the mayor, and Jeff Davis would be the comptroller. But they mostly just would talk about shit and get in weird conversations and stuff like this. So at some point they started turning it into a podcast where they would just record those shows. And then at some point Dan Harmon got fired from Community. And so they decided they were going to do a Harmontown tour and go around the country and do live shows. And then some other guy decided he was going to do a documentary about it. And so that's what this is. It took a long time for the damn documentary to come out. But it's finally out. And like I said, I did listen to those episodes before, so I kind of had perspective. Trish has not listened to that stuff before, but she knew about it, sort of. It's okay. I'm not sure it means it. Watching the film could make you want to listen to the podcast. If you listen to the podcast, I would recommend watching the film. Because it is very interesting to sort of get a visual take on all this stuff. But it is very tricky to watch, because Dan Harmon is an odd character. Dan Harmon is a mess. He's socially just bankrupt. I mean, he's just a mess. He has all sorts of social anxiety issues. He has so many issues of etiquette and interacting with people. He's also a really good writer. But he's also got a lot of problems that he largely solves through just raging alcoholism. And his podcast is really fascinating, and it is very cool. It has really... People who listen to it find community in it. They find a sense of belonging, because it really is about sort of getting a lot of social outcasts together and to talk about the things that society will get mad if they talk about and stuff like that. And it's very cool what he's done. He's also an asshole. And I mean, I've seen his relationship fracture, his partner, and he on stage just saying terrible things about it, like just terrible stuff. And it's because he's drunk and because he has these fucked up defense mechanisms. And to be fair, she's also drunk and she has fucked up defense mechanisms. But so he's a hard guy to like, but what he's done is pretty impressive. And it's just, I'm old enough that I'm like, this is bullshit. Like, It's not complex. The problem here, 98% of the problem, is you're fucking alcoholic. So it's not even like, wow, how do we come back from this? You stop drinking, and then you'll be mostly good. And I'm not saying that's going to be easy, but it's not, you know, it's not, it's sort of like me. I don't go around saying, oh, I'm fat and in bad shape, but it's complicated. It's not complicated. And I've proven it, because now I'm eating better, and I'm exercising, and I'm losing weight. You know, or like me with cigarettes. I used to smoke cigarettes, and I quit and started up again a dozen times over the years. Because I always wanted to be like my brother and just smoke every once in a while. He can do that. I hate him for it. He can just have a cigarette every once in a while. And I want to do that because I like cigarettes. But I couldn't. I would start doing that, and then eventually, next thing you know, I'm doing like a pack a day or whatever. And I finally had to admit to myself, I'm like, you have two choices. You can't do that. Your choices are apparently non-smoker and chain smoker. And when you put it like that, it's real easy.
Well, at least easy to decide what you want to happen. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, if, given those are my two options, one of them really sounds better than the other. And then after that, it was fine. It's the same thing here. Like, clearly, the guy cannot responsibly handle his booze. So there you go. But whatever. I think it was an interesting documentary. I don't know that either of us liked it, per se. I do think it is a great companion to the podcast. But, of course, I stopped listening to the podcast at a certain point, mostly for that exact thing. The cool stuff was too overshadowed by him being an asshole. Mm. But it is fun, because one of the neat things about it is so... at some point... after they started recording the podcast, one night, they got into a conversation about role-playing games. Dungeons & Dragons in particular. Because they had never done those, and they were sort of curious about them. And so they just said to the room, they're like, is there anybody here who, like, game masters or dungeon masters D&D? And this guy raised his hand, and he came up on stage, and they said, could you... before next week's show, can we put a thing together and make up characters, and then we'll just play D&D here on stage next time? And the guy said, sure. And that started what has become an ongoing campaign, and what's more, has made this guy kind of famous, I mean, among certain circles, like, and he's good friends with them now, he actually works with them, and it's... and that's the thing about this film, actually. They at a certain point, they basically say... in this story, Dan's not the hero. Dan's kind of the villain. But this other guy, he sort of comes off as the hero. Because he had a lot of social issues and stuff, too. And this whole experience has sort of awakened him and sort of taught him a lot of things about himself. Mm. And he's a very cool guy. His name is Spencer Crittenden. And so seeing him is very interesting in this whole experience. and they're funny. That's the main reason you listen, is they're funny. They're a professional comedian and a professional comedy writer and other people who are also professional comedians. Kumail Nanjiani, I don't know if he still is, but for a while he became a regular on there, mostly because he would play D&D with them. He got a character, a human thief named Chris DeBerg, which originally was just a joke that he was named that, but they eventually sort of retconned the character that he literally is the guy who wrote Lady in Red. And couldn't come up with another hit, so he went on to become a thief. I feel like I've seen another movie, but I'm not sure I have.
Baby, what movies did we see recently? Yeah, I got that one. Anything else?
I don't think we've
seen a lot of movies. That might be it then. And we haven't started the next Dresden Files yet. We did watch some comedy specials. I think I talked about that one before.
I can't think of anything that we've been watching or anything to talk
really
about.
Really gotten
interesting.
Into Crack.com's videos. I really am into those lately. I've showed you some of those.
Yep, told them that.
Yeah. That's all I got. Haven't been playing a lot of video games, except stupid ones. Tap Titans, Goat Evolver, things like this.
You haven't got together with your gaming group for the last...
No, we're cursed or something. We've had ones we had to miss, and then just last-minute cancellations. Hmm. And the one time we got together, it had been so long we just talked and like didn't manage to do any gaming.
You mentioned that last time.
But yeah, we should say this is a day early. We're recording on Wednesday because I have things tomorrow. Because I'm getting an award.
A prestigious award.
And they're having a fancy banquet for us award people. And that isn't enough for me to care. Because it's not, I didn't get one of the awards where I, like, go up on stage or anything. And also, I've been to this thing before, and, you know, whatever. But, since the cruise, I have nice clothes, and I look good in them. So I want people I work with to see how good I look. So we're going to go to that.
Groovy.
I may have things to say soon about the next RPG I'm going to run, but... That's still in flux. I feel like it's probably not worth talking about. Oh, that's no fun.
Does that help to hit yourself like that?
I don't know. It helps emotionally.
You feel better.
Like,
huh?
That's a spot that's uncomfortable, so you sort of, like, smack it and hoping you're, like, dislodging something. I don't know. All right, I think that's it.
Okay.
So, hat?
Let's move on to the hat.
If you'd like to write to the hat,
and
do
you
it.
Would
yes.
like to.
If you wouldn't, try again.
Beth? She asked, this is slightly digested, I guess. Beth asks, Chris McGregor of McGregor's Furniture is retiring after 118 years.
Wow.
Well, okay, anyway. How does this make you feel?
Confused.
Well, if Chris McGregor is who I think it is, she is Jim McGregor's sister.
Okay.
And she's been a spokesperson for McGregor's for some time.
For apparently 118 years.
Wow. No, McGregor's...
Which is amazing, because McGregor's, she didn't start when she was zero.
McGregor's apparently has been around for near that long. It's been around for a very long time.
Yes. And I never, maybe until this podcast, realized that Jim McGregor, your boss, was McGregor's.
Yeah. Yep. And he looks a lot like his dad, too.
Who was the original McGregor?
No. No, he wasn't even the original.
Oh, my God.
But
go back to ancient Sumeria.
But I did hear that she was retiring, and it didn't really make me feel anything in particular. It did make me think about McGregor's and Jim, and I was wondering what Jim's been doing, because Jim's quite a bit older than her.
And that dude you killed?
I didn't kill him.
You killed somebody.
No, someone died there while I was working there, but I didn't. Yeah. If you mean the curse that I carry with me killed him, well, maybe
no,
so.
I feel like this is like a Dexter thing.
No. I didn't.
I'm a furniture salesman, and I go around killing people who directly. Want furniture. That's not really like Dexter.
And I didn't
That's
sell furniture. I
shitty.
Assembled and helped deliver furniture.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if somebody tried to do like a Dexter ripoff? But they got it wrong like that. They're like, I have this job, and my code is to only kill people who show up to this workplace. You know, like, then, like, dude, you're just a serial killer and a lazy serial killer at that point. Because you can't even go to another location. You can't even have, like, house, work, place where I find people to kill. It's just house and work / place where I find people to kill.
Yeah. You're probably going to get caught. I mean, there's all kinds of problems with that strategy.
Unless you pin it on William. And his curse. Wait, but how many people did you kill then?
That
Why is
Chris,
it a curse?
That is Chris McGregor, right? The woman that's been in the McGregor ads for a while, TV ads and stuff.
Who are you asking?
You. Because she's on TV, mostly. I mean, I've seen her in, like, newspaper ads, but I know she's on TV.
I have not seen an ad for McGregor's Furniture in years.
Really?
Huh. I kind of thought it was already gone.
No. It is still with us.
Yeah, no,
I do wonder what Jim's doing. And
I still see Roger Lutzky in commercials. But I
think Chris is his sister. That makes sense, doesn't it?
That two people with different last names might be related as siblings, and that Chris might be a female name. Yes, story checks out.
She's just quite a bit younger than him, is what I'm saying. So it could be she's like a cousin.
So you were asking yourself if that made sense.
Yeah, I'm asking myself. Because I never met her, like... McGregor's... Well, you know, Adventureland Park in Des Moines. It's an amusement park in Des Moines.
Home of the tastiest funnel cakes ever.
Stop it.
Now it's more bees. Sorry, wasps.
Companies have... Like, they'll go to the park and they'll, like, invite their employees to come at for free or at a discounted rate. Yeah. And then there's a special meal that they can have and shows they can watch and whatever. Well, McGregor's did that one year.
While you were working at which place?
You know what? I don't remember them doing it while I was working there, like, as a teenager. I don't remember McGregor's ever being there, but
so,
they might have
the
been.
The story you're telling is when you're working at McGregor's.
Yes, I'm working at McGregor's, and I went.
As
to,
a guest.
To Adventureland as a guest, okay. As a McGregor's employee.
And you're like, I really want a funnel cake.
And this is... No, I did not. And this is where...
I want to eat a wasp.
This is where I saw Jim's dad, and the family resemblance was uncanny. Jim was there, but, I mean, I didn't see, like, Chris
is it really
there.
Uncanny
anything.
If there's a strong resemblance between a father and son?
It's uncanny if they pretty much look like exactly the same person, except one's a little older. That's what makes it uncanny. Because not everybody looks that similar to their parent. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, no. Just because something isn't always true, though, I'm not. I feel like it might be a leap to uncanny. At best, being generous here, it might be. That's interesting. The resemblance is interesting.
If you say so.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure. But I throw around my uncanny.
My point is, I saw Jim, I saw Jim's dad, and I'm sure I saw many other members.
Baby.
Many other members of Jim's family, but I, and if Chris was there, I saw her, but I don't remember seeing her. I don't know if.
You were pretty drunk.
No. So I don't actually know how they're related. Like, they could be cousins.
Did you ever see the movie Adventureland?
Or she could be his a niece, maybe even. Because I'm pretty sure he's older than her. The movie Adventureland? No. Yeah. I think I talked about how my brothers wanted us to write a script for a movie about Adventureland in Des Moines because they had what they thought were pretty hilarious experiences there. And
as
then this
did you.
And then this film comes out and it's called Adventureland.
Yes.
That wouldn't really be a big deal.
It's relatively generic.
Except it's actually set in, you know, the 80s or whatever, the same time period even that we were going to set our story in. So
I'm pretty sure Bill Hader plays you in the movie.
No. But
I've heard that it is particularly nostalgic for people who worked in that kind of job.
Really?
I've heard that.
Well, you know, there is going to be a fairly...
Adventureland 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Significant number of people who, I mean, just about every state has some amusement park like that. And it employs a huge number of young people, you know, over the course of a decade, say, you know, 80s or 90s or whatever.
Not as stringently as Disneyland?
Probably not. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who can relate to that particular experience. And it's probably very similar. I mean, I'll bet probably even if you don't even have to go. I don't even have to go if I went to Minnesota and talked to someone who worked at Valley Fair.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily have to find someone who worked there in the 80s for us to be able to talk about what it was like to work there.
No, I think a lot of shit does not change.
Yeah, and to completely relate to all of the stuff in terms of dealing with people in the park, dealing with managers, and the kinds of people who are managers at these places and executives. Yeah, it's probably all the same.
Somebody should write a movie. Oh, wait.
They did.
They did.
And I didn't see it. I heard it wasn't very good.
I don't know.
You didn't see it either?
I didn't see it.
How do you feel about Chris McGregor retiring after 118 years? You going to miss her?
I assume so. But you know what happens.
When you assume.
When you assume.
Yeah. So we probably better not do that.
I'm going to ask out of William and Jim McGregor.
Jim's got way too much on his plate. We should not assume things.
Don't be an ass. I did think of another bit of news.
Oh.
Our cats are losing their goddamn minds.
That's news?
No, and it's bad.
Oh.
So, I believe I've talked about this before. Twiglet, who's now the eldest kitty in the household, is a sweetheart. He wasn't always. He was a little hellraiser when he was a baby. But he's a sweetheart now. In the same way that I'm a sweetheart. In that...
That's very confusing.
Yeah, I know. He's too lazy to really make a fuss. So, he likes to snuggle. He doesn't really freak out about stuff. Little kids can mess with him, and he doesn't generally, like, he won't bite, but he'll, like, warn them forever, and then finally he might snap at him. It happened with my three-year-old niece one time, and she was messing, and we're all like, stop it, he's gonna bite you, and he's going, and finally he snapped, didn't even hit her, but she, like, cried, and her own mom was like, we told you. And usually, if somebody's driving crazy like that, he'll leave the room rather than do it, but very laid back, very tolerant of his little sister. Except under certain circumstances.
Okay.
When he has a weird thing with looking outside. Like for strange reasons, I can be in the backyard and he'll look at me through the windows, but I'm outside and he will hiss at me. Like, outside stuff is just freaky to him. But the big one is, especially in the summer when, like, windows are open and stuff, like, a stray cat walks by out there, he loses his mind. He starts going, wow, wow. And if anybody, cat or human, like, goes over and tries to, he will go off on them. And, like, rip the shit out of you and bite. And it's kind of scary.
Wow.
And it's been a problem over the years because, like, he starts making those noises and the other cats want to see what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think somewhere in the last week and a half or so that happened.
He's looking out the window. Saw a stray cat.
Or possibly as he would, but all I know is, yeah, that somebody starts making those noises and then cats are fighting and, like, seriously fighting. Because, like, they'll wrestle around and stuff, but this is like you hear cats screaming and things knocking over and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since then, as he's apparently traumatized.
Oh.
Most of the time. But not all of the time. So, at certain times and in certain places, she will look at him and hiss and be like, whoa. And he is a cat and not a very bright cat at that. He doesn't even remember. So he's like, what? What is it? But she's like, and she won't let him go through it. But if she does it enough, you know, he eventually, because, you know, she's caterwauling and stuff, so he'll eventually take the bait and go after her and stuff. But mostly she's just freaked out. But then, like, then they sleep together on the bed, curled up together. But then, like, later that day, I'm sitting on the couch, and she jumps up on the back of the couch, and he's trying to follow her in, and she's like... I'm freaking out. So it's been really kind of bugging us and kind of making us very nervous. It looks like it might finally be calming down, but it's just this weird cycle because she's freaked out about him and she freaks out bad enough that he kind of goes nuts and then she has reason to be freaked out about him. But I don't know, like tonight they seem better, so we'll see. But it's been a genuine cause for concern because it's really... violent when they do that. And it's also difficult to like...
Yes, I'm using my cough drops. Okay. I'll take another one.
It's So yeah, so that's a story. All right.
They don't seem to be working.
I think they are. I think this is better than it would be.
Oh, so wow.
Take that. When I was in college, there was a pop group called Take That, but it wasn't really well known in this country. It was more of a UK phenomenon. It was led by Robbie Williams, who went on to have some kind of a solo career, mostly again in the UK. So one of my roommates, freshman year, starts playing us music that he has while we're playing cards. And he's from Nepal and went to high school at an international school in Italy. So he has a very complex accent and a very different cultural background. And so we're sitting around and one of the friends says, "Hey, who's this we're listening to?" And he says, "Take That." He says, "What?" He says, "Take That." The guy says, "Well, fuck you. Who is it?" And he explained, and we all laughed, and that became our running joke since then. Anyway, so whenever I hear "Take That," that's what I think of. I want to respond, go, "Well, fuck you." All right. This one's also from Beth.
Wow.
It's the best show.
It's the best show.
I hope
show.
She still isn't.
Yeah, me too.
What happened to the Kraft dinner? Did it stop sponsoring the show?
Oh, man. Boy, she's got a good memory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you need to explain what happened to the Kraft dinner.
Well, the short answer is no, Beth, it did not stop sponsoring the show because it never really started sponsoring the show, even though we said that. We were lying. how do we explain this?
I've been doing it for the last 3 shows, I think.
William was coughing before it was.
I probably made you sick.
No, my wife did. It was bad because Trish does not get sick very much. When she does, it tends to be pretty rough, but it tends to be fairly quick. She got sick, left on a trip for like 4 days, came back, was still sick. So I knew that was a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get whatever she gets, and usually worse because I'm a big wuss. Would you like a cough drop?
No, thank you.
They're sugar-free.
That's all right.
I think they have beef in them.
I probably should have had more chocolate before I came over. That usually helps me.
With your cough?
It helps with everything.
Someday you're going to have an infomercial. It's going to be terrible. So, for those of you who weren't here through the Kraft dinner phenomenon, some of you may be familiar with the Bare Naked Ladies song, $1 Million. If I had $1 Million. If I had $1 Million, I'd buy you a green dress. But not a real green dress. That's cruel. But there's a line in it about how we wouldn't have to eat Kraft dinner, but we would eat Kraft dinner. We'd just eat more. And this, of course, begs the question, what do heck is Kraft dinner?
What do heck?
I always forget that other people don't know what do heck nowadays, and so I say it. I also did that with What the Elf, which is the other one that I picked up from Trish. What the Elf? Also, I'm kind of pleased with myself in my swearing. I believe, and it wasn't quite conscious, but I have now just about 100% replaced my use of the word Jesus as a swear word with the word Jeebus from The Simpsons.
Hmm.
And I feel like that's less blasphemous somehow. So. we were just talking about that today. But anyway, and so we sought Canadian authorities on the subject. And they told us the whole story. The story is this. In Canada, Kraft macaroni and cheese is called Kraft dinner.
Yep.
That's the end.
That's the story. That's the whole story.
And after a lot of conversation about it, a former listener, I think former, I don't think she's listening anymore. Hasn't been listening for a few years now, has a significant other who takes the form of a Canadian who lives here.
What are they the rest of the time?
I don't know. I've only seen them in their Canadian form. I didn't say only sometimes. They could always take the form of a Canadian. I don't know. Just saying. That is the form they've taken.
Okay.
Wonder Twins. Form of a bucket of water. Form of a Canadian. Now we're all useless. And so they take trips to Canada periodically to visit his family. Or at least the form his family has taken.
Canada.
And so she brings back stuff, which include, like, awesome Canadian Cheetos, which aren't called Cheetos, but there's these cheese corn curl things that are really good because they have way more, like, actual cheese involved. And in other countries, you can't just say processed cheese food. Like, you have to actually put some goddamn cheese in it. So those are really good. And she brings back, you know, maple flavored things and stuff like that. So one time,
maple flavored things.
I don't mean fake maple.
No, I know.
Flavored with maple.
It's all about the maple up there.
Yes. And real cheese.
Back bacon.
Which pisses me off.
Bacon from the back. Actually,
yeah,
isn't that where it used to come from? Isn't it? Really, it should be called bacon. Back bacon should just be called bacon, and pork belly should be that it becomes, you know, bacon should just be called something else. Because I think bacon used to come from the back originally.
I'm not even sure what that means.
A cut from the back of
So what did they do with the belly?
Well, I don't know, but.
Did you ever have side pork?
No, I never had side pork. Well, I don't know. See, I didn't have pork when I was growing up. The only time I ever had pork was when I went to college, and that was almost always...
raised Muslim.
That was almost always like just sausage on a pizza or something. You know, it wasn't like a...
Yeah, you wouldn't have had side pork.
Never had pork chops before, never had... Or bacon was in things that I had in college, but I didn't eat a lot of bacon or anything.
So I was just saying to my wife the other day, so you know, I love bacon.
Yeah.
I don't like back bacon. I love bacon. but I'm getting a little tired of... Because everybody knows I love bacon. And the thing, I'm not that special in loving bacon.
No, you are not. That's a very common thing.
But people really... Maybe it's because I'm a fat guy. I don't know. They really consider it more of a defining property of me than... I mean, and to be fair, I will cook up a pound of bacon and eat it by itself. That's commitment. But still. I think that just is because I don't care, not because I'm special. I'm a little tired. People give me bacon gifts. Not gifts of bacon, which would be awesome, but like, you know, bacon-themed duct tape.
Yeah, right, or something like that. Right.
And it was fun. I'm getting tired of it now. And this came up because my wife recently got me a bacon-themed present. She was very excited. And she gives it to me. Like, it wasn't wrapped or anything. She just ordered it on Amazon, and it showed up, and she hands it to me. And it's a little lanyard, I guess. It's like a strap, but it's a loop that's maybe only, like, 4 inches long. So, like, you could put it on your wrist.
Mm.
That's some sort of, like, machine-woven fabric or whatever. This is I Heart Bacon, like, several times over it. And then it has a little, like, keychain thing on the end. I did not like it. But I faked it for my wife. I'm like, oh, great. And then she said, I was thinking you could put your little gym ID thing on it so that you won't lose it because it'll have this big thing attached. And I said, why, yes, I could. And suddenly I liked this gift. Because it is hilarious to me
to go to the gym
at 5:15 every morning and beep my little thing and then put it with all the other keys with the big thing that says I Heart Bacon. So I like that gift and I've been using it now. Because she drives so I don't bother taking my keys. So for a little while I had the little thing which can go on your keyring separate because when I had it on my keyring it would kind of get beaten up.
Mm.
But then I lost it and had to get a new one. And so she thought of this and I'm like, this is brilliant. So What were we talking about?
Kraft and dinner. Then your friend brought you some Kraft dinner from Canada.
Yes. And so for a while, we lied. Really, for years, we've been doing that, but...
we've never corrected it until now, really, for the whole run up to this point...
Kraft gave us no money, no
Well, we were frank coupons. About that part. I mean, we didn't... We were honest about how we weren't really getting anything out of this, but...
We were hoping they would take notice and start...
Right.
...giving us.
But, of course, until we had very many listeners, they weren't getting anything out of it either, so...
No.
It was a wash.
Yeah.
And we were always very straightforward about that. But
to be fair, nobody's ever gotten anything out of this podcast.
No. But, so yeah.
Except HostGator.
So we had the craft. And now the way
Speaking of which, I got to renew the domain, and I'm having some confusion on how that works. So if May 1st, suddenly the website and the podcast disappear, don't think we died. I just can't figure out how to renew domains.
For a while, we would we would mention that we were sponsored by Kraft Dinner.
And rattle the box.
And rattle the box. That's correct. And that's something that we haven't done for a long time.
Believe me, I thought about just grabbing a box of regular mac and cheese and faking it.
Because what happened to the original box?
I don't know.
Whoa. What?
Look at this house.
You don't know where the original box of Kraft Dinner is?
I'm sure it's within 15 feet of where we're sitting.
You could probably, yeah, it's probably somewhere you could reach it if you just...
I suspect you're right. Good luck with that. But this is a question. Can you tell the difference with a Canadian rattle of dry pasta versus an American rattle of dry pasta?
And can you hear the cheese packet?
That sounds like a proverb or something. Can't you need to look deep inside yourself and hear the cheese packet.
But other than what they're called...
That might be the title of this episode.
Other than what they're called, and also there might be some more real cheese in the Kraft Dinner.
Yes.
The packets both contain powdered something.
Yeah, no, same
Otherwise,
shit.
It's the exact same thing.
Same shit, different country. SDSC. Also, all the information on Kraft Dinner is also in French. Because it's the law. The Canadian law. So you remember Stu? Our Welsh friend?
Wait, before we move on to Stu. So, Beth, to answer your question.
Beth.
We
don't know.
Kraft Dinner has not stopped, technically speaking.
Because it never started.
Well, okay. But that means, technically speaking, it hasn't stopped.
The situation has remained the same.
Yes.
And we don't know where it is.
And we don't know where the box is.
But it's close by.
But still, if you ever eat a box of Kraft Dinner, or let's face it, if the American version too, think
Kraft
of us.
Macaroni and cheese,
You can think of us.
I'm going to go one step better. If you ever eat food, think of us.
Yeah.
Do it.
Not even especially bacon.
No. Any food.
But don't eat funnel cakes, though.
I don't think they can help, but
yeah, don't eat those.
You when that happens.
You know, I've been taking a new route to this house for the last probably year, right?
Okay.
When I first started doing that,
yes.
The very first time I drove that route here, I passed the Hy-Vee. There's two Hy-Vees you're going to pass on this route, right?
You're talking about Drugtown.
Oh, Drugtown?
The one out Rochester.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ivy Drugtown is what it's called.
Okay.
That's not a weird name for like a place where people go to buy meth. It's a particular type of Hy-Vee that's mostly just a pharmacy and stuff like that, and so it was called Hy-Vee Drugtown.
And it's smaller.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah.
And I say this because I know exactly what you're about to talk about.
Yeah, there was a funnel cake stand there.
Well, and a whole, and just one of those little things that sells like corn dogs and all that stuff. For, like, no goddamn reason.
No, that's right.
There was not a midway or anything.
But it was a little bit traumatizing. I'm driving to here, and it's, oh, there's that thing. Great. And well, I wasn't going to say anything about it, and I didn't. But
and I'll be honest, though, but the whole, like, no-context carnival food trailer really sounds like the setup for a horror movie. And it was there for, like, a week.
Yeah, it was there for a long time.
And we didn't know why.
I haven't seen it since, though.
Weird. No. Or any of those children. I mean... I don't know.
Well, it stands to reason. They were eating those things that start with F. Don't eat those. Stew, yes, I remember Stew.
Stew, who's Welsh. I love to make fun of that. I feel bad sometimes because it's sort of our entire relationship. Such that I hadn't talked to him in a while, but the other night we were watching The Simpsons, and they made a joke about the Welsh.
Yeah.
And Trish is like, you should tell Stew tomorrow. And I was like, nah, it wasn't a good one, really, and I feel weird about that. The joke was, it was a fairly recent episode, and there was some mystery being solved. Somebody had done something bad, and it turned out it was Groundskeeper Willie.
Who's not Welsh.
No, he's Scottish.
Yes.
But they confront him, and they don't tell him exactly, but they're like, it was you. And he's like, what? He's like, why did you do it, Willie? And he's like, oh, I can't bear the thought of a single Welshman living. And then he's like, wait, what are you talking about? And then they told him, and it was a totally different thing. But apparently, yeah, some other deep, dark secret that involves him not being able to cope with any Welsh or staying alive. But so I wasn't going to tell Stu. But then Stu spontaneously IM'd me that day over something else. So then I was like, well, while I got you here, I'll tell you. And he says, why? I'm kind of surprised Simpsons would, like, do that. Why do you think they did that? And I thought about it, and I realized something. The Simpsons and I have something in common. We feel, me and the Simpsons, that there are certain nationalities, ethnicities in some cases, but mostly nationalities, that are so non-offensive that it's particularly enjoyable to sort of ironically mock them.
Like Canadians.
Well, this is the thing. The Simpsons and I have very similar tastes in this area because the primary sources are the Welsh, the Canadians, and basically all of Scandinavia. And I agree, and I'm always making fun of them. And it's very specifically because I actually think they're all really cool, and I don't think they have anything particularly controversial about them. So I think it's funny to pretend to shit on something that just is not... That is so inoffensive. So yeah, The Simpsons have more of an issue with Brazil than I do, but to be fair, not nearly as much of an issue as Brazil has with The Simpsons.
Oh,
there are like very few countries in the world that don't like The Simpsons. Brazil's one, and I think North Korea might be another.
There is a business that doesn't like Iowa. There's probably lots of them that don't, but I know of a specific business that does not like Iowa.
Do tell.
Hooters restaurants. Did you know this?
I did not.
Well, let me tell you the story then, really quick, because I know we're probably almost out of time.
I know of a Hooters in Iowa, so I find this weird.
Well, this is the thing. The very first Hooters restaurant in Iowa, well, I'm pretty sure the very first one in Iowa was in Des Moines. In West Des Moines on 22nd Street.
Biggest city in the state, makes sense.
And there were some people in Des Moines who objected to it being there at all.
All right.
And in particular, there were some women who applied to work there who, in most other parts of the country, would probably not even have try to apply for a job there.
Mm.
Okay, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And of course, these women weren't hired by the restaurant.
Yes.
And then those women, challenged it legally. And of course, the state of Iowa sided with them and whatever. So.
Well, actually, I've more recently, apparently, Hooters has gotten good about that because I was reading something. Somebody did like a profile of somebody working there, and apparently that's not so much the thing anymore. Although the trick is you have to fake it if you're not properly hooted.
But the thing is, what was interesting about that whole thing was that while these women were going through their legal action, the corporate people from Hooters were actually trying to argue that there was nothing sexual or sexist about their business model, that that they're
of course, I think they must spend days trying to get that.
Their mascot's just an owl. There's that's supposed to be anything suggestive about the logo. Yeah. I mean, they were saying all this stuff that everybody knew wasn't true, you know. And it was kind of disgusting to watch them sit there and lie and think that, you know, whatever. But I think those women won their case, and so it got to the point where, you know, if you went to Orlando, Florida, to a Hooters restaurant, you were going to see a particular kind of woman working there. But if you went to Des Moines or any of the other Hooters restaurants that opened up in Iowa, you weren't going to see just one type of woman working there. And the people who owned the chain or the whatever didn't like that.
Joe Hooter.
They wanted the women in all of the Hooters restaurants to look like the women you would see in most of the southern restaurants. Let's just be frank about it. Because that's because my understanding is if it's a Hooters restaurant in the South, you know, there are certain types of women just won't even apply to work there. And not because it's disreputable or something, just because they know they're not going to get hired and they don't have, I don't know, culturally it's more acceptable or something. I don't know. But if you went, my understanding is if you went to a Hooters restaurant anywhere in the South or anywhere outside of Iowa, because or the Midwest probably, because I heard the same, they had the same problem with Minnesota or whatever. One of the popular things that you'll see in their restaurants is they'll make jokes about Iowa and Iowans. After this bad experience, they make fun of Iowans specifically because they don't like how Iowa, the whole state apparently, treated their restaurant chain.
I discovered some horrific stuff about them recently. Well, not them. Well, I'll explain. I don't even remember how I got to it. I went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole, so I don't even remember how I got there. But I'm familiar with the existence of Hooters. I've never been in a Hooters.
I ate it once.
But I'm familiar with the concept.
I was in Florida, I was with someone who wanted to eat there, and I thought, oh, whatever. We'll just eat there. Really, and it was just a regular restaurant. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, the women were of a particular body type, I'll say that. But it wasn't. In Florida, if you go to just about any restaurant and there are women working there, they're going to be dressed in a way to keep cool because it's hot down there. And so they weren't really dressed more provocatively than you'd find in women in most restaurants down there. So it really was no big deal in Florida to go to one. But
trying to tell a story.
Sorry. Here. That's the only one I've ever been to, though. The only time I've ever been there.
I'm aware of them. Haven't been to one. I'm also aware, in recent years, of a restaurant chain called the Tilted Kilt. Because there's one in Cedar Rapids, and I knew somebody whose daughter worked there. I also have never been in there, but I've been led to believe that it is essentially a Scottish-themed thing like Hooters.
I mean, they only have female wait staff, and they're supposed to be sexy or whatever.
What I only recently learned, again, going through this Wikipedia rabbit hole, is this is an entire genre of eating establishment. There are many different types. There are many different chains that are sort of well known for this kind of thing. And in fact, a term has been created to label this type of eating establishment.
Oh.
It is a general term for all of them. But in fact, one of the chains recently tried to trademark it to use it in their restaurant. Would you like to hear the term?
I don't know.
You would not.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Breastaurant.
Oh, you know, I've heard that term before.
I had not.
Yep.
But it's like a real thing now.
So restaurants basically like Hooters chain and all those other restaurants.
Yes. That because they can't ever, there's not a good way to say basically Applebee's with boobs, you know. Like, so yeah, breastaurant. And here's the thing.
Yeah, I think I've heard that before.
As many people who know me know, I love boobs. Totally love boobs. Boobs are awesome.
Okay.
I love boobs. I still find this, like, just makes my stomach turn. Like, oh yeah, there's this type of eating establishment, a breastaurant.
Well.
Really, people? Come on.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that there were really any other ones besides
apparently there's tons
Hooters. And again, I went to one in Florida, and in terms of restaurants in Florida, it didn't seem unusual at all. I mean, if you took the same restaurant and put it in Iowa, even in the summertime, it would be strange. Mm. But I don't really see what the big deal was, I guess, when I was there.
Well, and especially nowadays, I think like there's this thing to sort of make it seem like it's nicer, like, you know, this isn't sleazy, like strip clubs are sleazy.
Yeah, and kids come.
This is a nice version.
Yeah, their families come here to eat.
A nice version is just a normal restaurant, you know?
Well, I said I didn't see what the big deal was. What I mean by that is it didn't seem like what the women were wearing was particularly revealing or like I said, yeah, it didn't stand out compared to what a lot of other people were wearing, women were wearing at other restaurants. I do think it's a big deal, though, that, you know, this is the selling point kind of for this restaurant, or whatever else they might say about it being a family restaurant or anything else. When the explicit draw to the restaurant is women who are supposed to be scantily clad, and you're only going to hire women of certain body types and things like that, yeah that's I'm offended by that. I don't think that, you know, the restaurant I went to, the women weren't dressed in a particularly offensive way, but the concept is, clearly offensive. And I was actually kind of proud that Iowa was, you know, Iowans sort of pushed back against this and said, no, we're not going to have a restaurant where, you know, only women who look a certain way are going to be hired there.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I was glad that Iowans did that.
And on that note, if you're from a different state, we're better than you. And we have to wrap it up for the night. We need you to write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what to talk about, or else we're just fucking going to talk about Hooters. Or whether or not you can hear the cheese packet. Yeah, also, you can like us on Facebook. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. I just have a hunch Jazz is going to have some interesting things to say about this. So go find out what she says and talk back. She's not a bot. She will respond. I've tested the theory.
She's my friend. Well, she's our friend, really. I mean,
she's everyone's friend. That sounds unwholesome. Maybe just because we've been talking about Hooters. I don't know. Jazz is a wonderful person. She has a lot of astute observations. She's frequently talking about it on the blog. And really, I want people to engage her in conversation other than William, because William's boring. So go do that.
I am boring.
Because I'm not going to do it. But that's it. And I'm going to go to bed now.
Okay. So,
good night. And have a pleasant tomorrow. Or something. Or today. No, tomorrow for them.
For them. Yeah.
Us is today.
Today.
So have a pleasant Friday. You see, you can't know.
No. Yeah.
Be pleasant.
And see you next week. Thursday.
And have a pleasant.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.